The Layup Line. Welcome to The Layup Line. We're excited that you're here with us again tonight. Had the privilege of hanging out with Tone this last couple days, and we talked some great Ohio State stuff, some college football. And I'm here tonight with my college roommate, Seth. And we're going to talk some Cavs. So I'm excited. We got someone new on the line with me tonight. Seth, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate the call. I always love to talk Cavs. You know that.
Man, Seth and I have been talking Cavs. Like, we've been texting essentially about the Cavs since, like, 2007, I think.
Yeah. The Cavs, we will vent. We won't talk for, like, 3 months, and then we'll vent about, like, LeBron or the Cavs or whatever. So
yeah. Yeah, so... So Seth and I met in college. We started hanging out like my junior, senior year, and we lived together with some other guys. I call him Seth, Fruit, or Fruit Man. So if you hear me refer to him any of those three names, don't think the person on the other line changed. It's the same guy.
It's the same person.
Yeah. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. I honestly have been in good spirits right now because, you know, the Cavs, LeBron is back, and I couldn't be more thrilled. Obviously, you heard me the other night, like, there's been some highs and lows so far this season, but, you know, I'm trying to keep, as I always do, the big picture in mind, and I really think what we saw last game was just like a good glimpse of things to come.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I got to see you, what was that, Saturday night?
Yeah, Saturday at homecoming.
How long had that been since we talk a lot, but how long had that been since I'd actually seen you in the flesh?
Gosh, man. I want to say the last time I saw you in person was when I was living in California, and you were like, you had moved to Akron, and I was home, and you're like,
yeah,
yo, come over, and I just came over to your house, which you don't even live in anymore, because I asked you that, and you're in Wadsworth,
but yeah, I've lived
like,
here
what,
like
2 years ago.
That was probably 2 years ago. That's terrible.
That's nuts.
But I mean,
we had excuses though. I was on the other side.
Yeah, you. I mean, it's not like you can drive to hang out at McDonald's when you're at out in Cali. So
exactly.
Yeah, but we still have been able to keep in touch. Cavs have been a big part of it. LeBron's been a big part of it.
Yes.
So I don't know. How are you feeling about stuff so far? What are we, seven? Are we six games in, 3-3?
Yeah, we're 3-3. You know, obviously, why did we write off the first game? You know what I mean? Whatever. That was one of those games where I was frustrated beyond belief, but then I was keeping the big picture, and I couldn't have been more happy that we played the Bulls the next night. And, you know, LeBron, you know, I don't think he quite looked like himself in that game, but he at least went off with 36. And it started to show me, like, how valuable in that game, how valuable Kevin Love is. I can't tell you. I know, like, Kyrie went off in the last game scoring. Like, we all know he can, like, get, like, the best handle in the NBA, arguably, but I think so. But, like, to me, honestly, the glue guy is going to be, and I don't want to, like, make this a Kevin Love talk, but, like, the more I'm watching them, like, he is, I'm not trying to bash anybody on the Miami Heat, but he is so much better than, like, Chris Bosh and what he does. And
yeah.
I think he's going to be a big key to how successful we are.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I love Kevin Love. I never in my wildest dreams thought when I watched him at UCLA that he would be what he is now.
No, I agree.
I mean, he's totally rebuilt his body. He rebuilt his game. And he's a monster. I mean, he really is a legitimate top 10 NBA player, and it's just incredible to watch him play. You know, I remember when the rumors started that we were trying to get that Kevin Love, and then there was Bennett was probably going to be in the deal, and maybe Dion, but we were hanging on and certainly not letting Andrew Wiggins go for it. And I remember like at first, like I was kind of like all for that, like, yeah, you can't give up Andrew Wiggins. Like, I was really on the Wiggins train, and then we've talked about this, and you and I talked about this, like, Kevin Love is entering the prime of his career. LeBron is probably in the last, I would say LeBron's probably got four or five more years, hopefully, at the later end of his prime. And then Wiggins probably won't see his prime for another 5 years.
Yeah, we don't have time, like, honestly. You know how the window in the NBA is, it's small. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was, when the Thunder made the finals a couple of years ago, you know, everybody's like, oh, they're going to make it every year, and you see what happens. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, you thought for like 10 years. Yeah, you look at the Thunder like 3 years ago, and you're like, oh, man, they're going to be in the finals for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And they haven't even been back.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, man, like, you get Kevin Love in his prime, you know, Irving, who's going to get just better and better, and then LeBron, yeah, at, like, the peak of his powers. Like, and I looked at the stat line the other night. Like, Wiggins, and, like, I saw it on ESPN, Wiggins is averaging, like, 9 points a game on, like, terrible shooting. Like, we didn't have time. Like, honestly, we didn't have time to wait for that.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the thing. Like, I'm a – like, even though he's not on the Cavs, like, I'm rooting for Wiggins. Like, I hope he has a great career. And I think he'd have been a great Cav, but – Like you said, the city of Cleveland and all of Northeast Ohio, we have a 5-year window with our professional basketball team with the greatest player of our generation, and you go all in for that 5 years. And I appreciate Dan Gilbert doing that. He sold the farm and said, we're going all in, and I think he put together a good squad, and I think Kevin Love is a massive contributor to it. I'll watch these games, and I can't – he's got such a stroke. Like, it bothers me.
It's unbelievable how good of a shooter he is.
Like, when he – here's how you know. And, like, so I played basketball, so and I was a real good shooter. So, I can watch people – like, not in an arrogant way. Like, I can watch people and just in a second know, like, oh, they're a consistent shooter or not. And his misses are never bad. And what I mean by that is, like, his misses are always long, short, or in and out. Like, he's not missing wide right and left like a lot of guys are. And it's just so consistent. And sometimes I get mad because I texted you the other night and I said, Kevin Love should legitimately be shooting 15 threes a game.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting frustrated. Like, even though Kyrie was playing epic the other night, I'm like, man, Love hasn't shot in like 10 minutes. And I hope they work him in more. I think he's just going to be an incredible contributor for this team. I love his rebounding, but just from a shooting standpoint, like I'm telling Kyrie if I'm David Blatt, like, hey, just so you know, like every fifth possession down the court, I want Kevin Love shooting.
Yeah.
So like if you think it's your time to shoot, like maybe don't shoot this one. Go into lane and pass him the ball.
Yeah. Honestly, it shows like he can join the party whenever. Like he didn't know if he was going to get involved in that game, and then he hits that three in the fourth quarter, and then he hits another. And like he just. Honestly, he can go off, and he's not streaky. He's just consistent. Like, but he'll go on tears. We'll just, he gets the ball three times in a row, and he bombs three of them. That is going to be such a weapon in the playoffs and come, later in the season when LeBron can drive it well and Kyrie can drive it well. He's just out there hanging out.
I agree. Bombing. I think as far as just, like, natural fit, Kevin Love is the best teammate LeBron's ever probably been matched with, just as far as fit. I mean, D-Wade at the height of his prime was better, but that
2011 Dwayne Wade was pretty good, but I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean, we're both fans of Kyrie. I think that he's going to have to decide a little bit, probably to change his game a little bit, or they're going to have to maybe move with another point guard or something to make this work. But I'll tell you what, man, I told you the other night, I said he finishes his handle and his finish. I mean, other than AI, and I'm saying Allen Iverson, other than AI, I can't think of a guard that I saw finish like. I mean, his ability with the ball is just, it's numbing. Like, you watch that, and a part of you is like, man, that is insane.
Yeah. He'll go to the basket, and there'll be like a 7-footer challenging, and somehow he gets the ball up on the glass. Like, you're just like, he can scoop it under you. He uses his body. Like, you know more about the actual game than I do. But, like, he always figures out a way when he gets in there to get a layup. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm really impressed. Like, I didn't think he was going to be just as talented and as – never expected him to be as good as he is when he was at Duke. Like, I knew he could play. Now I just want to see the Cavs fit him into a role that I think really suits him well. Because, I mean, right now his role is still to shoot 20 times a game. And that's probably not the role that we need him to play. Unless we maybe take him off the ball a little bit. I don't know. I thought they did some good stuff the other night, putting LeBron on the ball a little bit more and kind of just saying to Kyrie, like, hey, like, go score. You know, and the thing, too, is, like, way overblown. Like, the zero assist thing, like, he even said, like, guys are missing shots. And he needs to be a little, I think, a little more purposeful with some passing, but you can't make other people make shots either, you know?
Yeah, no, and honestly, it's good. I think it's a good asset that you can just score at will because, and I know we had this discussion the other day, but honestly, we need to have to save LeBron's legs. Like we've talked about, like he's not 22 anymore. Like, he's still in his prime, but you can't let him play, 48 minutes a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needs more time off, and it's great that you have Kyrie who can score well and Kevin Love who can stretch the floor. And then we can talk about Waiters in a little bit because I don't know how he's going to fit in this puzzle. But
yeah,
it's just good that we have options. Like when LeBron needs his rest, like Kyrie can just take over a game too.
I agree. A note on LeBron, I thought last game was the first time this season that to me he looked like he had a bounce in his step. Like even when he was just dribbling the ball down the court, like he just kind of had a little spring. He had a couple of his dunks like normal. I mean, he just looked good. Yeah. Like we were texting each other like, dude, LeBron looks like LeBron finally. And I hope that's I hope it's not a back thing that's just like bothering him all year. Yeah. I hope he's not just like kind of inconsistent with how his body's feeling, but man, what an awesome sight seeing him in a Cavs jersey again, playing like that.
Yeah, that was my – obviously, I mean, that was everybody's favorite LeBron game so far this year. Like when he split those two defenders.
Oh, man. Wasn't that awesome?
I was like – yeah, I think that's when I texted you. I was like, yes. I was like, finally. And you know what? I think, like – I don't know. Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but so much went on for him this summer and so many changes. Like, maybe he's going to have to use this first – and you know, maybe he's like – managing his body more, maybe he's going to use this first month and a half to get himself into, like, you know, play into game fitness as opposed to, like, coming in, like, insane like he used to, because that's kind of what you do when you're a veteran, you know. And you know what? I'm okay with it because I want him playing his best basketball in June. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the goal of this season is, honestly, the only goal of the regular season, they're going to make the playoffs, no doubt. They're going to be a top three seed. So I think the entire Northeast Ohio has to realize that the goal of the regular season is to all be healthy in April and all have built some chemistry. And if our record is 50-32, like, I could care less. Like, I would rather have our record 50-32 and everyone healthy than like 65-17 and us banged up because we went too hard. I mean, it's a process, and it's a 5-year process where the first goal is just one. Like, we have to. We have guys. We have 3 of our 5-6 best players have never played a minute in the playoffs. You know? And so this whole first year, I think heading into the playoffs, even if we don't lose or if we don't win, it's not a disaster. Like, we got to get these guys minutes and get them used to the spotlight. Because I assure you, I mean, this is something I was worried about, and I think we're seeing it a little bit. Seth, I want to run this by you, see what you think. I think we're seeing a little bit of the stress of being a teammate of LeBron, and this is what I mean. On the court, as far as playing with him, there's probably no one more exciting to play with because of the way that he plays. But he brings a load, man. Like, since he's been 16, like, he's had this spotlight on him like no one else in the history of the world, legitimately. Yeah. And he brings this spotlight on him, and now all of a sudden – you think anyone last year ever would have cared if Dion Waiters didn't come out for a national anthem?
Exactly.
And now it's like the front page.
ESPN, anywhere LeBron goes, ESPN has a story to write. You know what I mean? So, and any teammate that does anything. So, yeah. And honestly, even like Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, obviously they were known names, but they were playing in small markets who had no televised games. You know, and now we have all the important games are on national TV. Everything's a headline. You're like, Kyrie and LeBron shared words after the game again.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, geez.
I mean, it's exhausting. And
that's going to happen for,
They had on the front page of ESPN.com a huge article about Kyrie and Kevin Love's handshake. Seth, we're talking about their handshake being on the front page of ESPN. Like, that's the spotlight that it brings. I don't think David Blatt has ever been used to this. So, I mean, the process of learning to evolve with LeBron and your team, it's more than just basketball. Like, it comes at you. And, you know, even this stuff on and I don't want to get into this for more than, like, a minute. The Kevin Love's going to opt out and go to L.A. thing. I was watching – I was listening to Bill Simmons the other day, and he had a great thing to say. He said, hey, people got to remember, like, everyone in Ohio is, like, so pumped about this. But every other GM wants this to fail. Every other team wants this to fail. And really outside of Cavs fans and, like, basketball purists, no one really wants to see this Kevin, Kyrie, LeBron thing work out. And so all year is going to be this onslaught and these floating things of, like, this is happening in the team. They hate each other, or Kevin Love's going to opt out. And people just have to realize, like, hey, like, let's just enjoy this process. We knew that when you give up some guys that are signed to your team for the next 3 years, for a potential free agent. Like, there's an inherent risk with that. We know that. Like,
yeah.
Kevin
yeah.
Love is not guaranteed to sign. But if I would be stunned if he doesn't resign, and we're not going to ruin this year of basketball spending the whole time, you know, worrying if he's not going to resign. Because
they're just trying to make that story up to, like, it. Honestly, do you think, I'm sorry, but, you know, we all know the stuff that happens behind the scenes. But Kevin Love even admitted, like, he didn't guarantee. He was on the phone with LeBron before this all happened, and they were like, yeah, we're going to, because LeBron only signed a 2-year contract, so he didn't get a max contract. They both were like, yeah, we're in this for the long haul. And I believe that they're not going to, unless some disaster happens.
Yeah, like with the new money, like the new cap and all that stuff, like, they're going to get paid a lot more money in the next few years. I mean, would you want to go play in L.A. right now?
No, he doesn't want to. I mean, he would be, that would be only because he wanted to, like, live back where he went to college.
But he was only there. Like, here's the thing, Seth. He's from Oregon. He went to UCLA.
Yeah.
He was on UCLA's campus for, like, 9 months. So it's not like, it'd be like you. I mean, I don't even know what it'd be like. But he's not going to go to L.A. because it's, like, his hometown. Like, he was there for 9 months as a college student. He's from Oregon. You know, it's not this, like, huge. I mean, people just make crap up, like, all the time. And I don't want to spend the rest. I don't really want to talk about it much more. I just don't want to spend the rest of this.
He's going to resign. Like, I mean, it's not even crossed my mind. Like, I read that article and I was like, that's just somebody trying to, like, mess everything up. Like, he's going to resign. Like, he knows enough and he's old enough to realize that this is, and I don't think he wants the money because I don't think he's just after the highest contract and all those things. I think he wanted to give himself the best chance to win a championship. And he looks around and he sees the best young point guard in the NBA and the best player in the NBA, and he's like, I'm going to stay here. And guess what? He don't need a big market anymore because LeBron James automatically means the center of the NBA universe.
Yeah. So, I mean, if LeBron James was playing in Nebraska, it'd be the biggest market now. You know, I mean, it's just, it's totally irrelevant where he is. I mean, it's totally irrelevant how big the city is. Hey, so let's talk through this for a little bit. Let's just talk like lineups. If you're David Blatt, give me your top eight. Who's your top eight right now? And in what order are you lining guys up, starting, coming off the bench?
Yeah, well, I think I'd stick with the starting lineup we currently have. But the thing is, like, I guess that's not my top eight because let's see. Let me go through this. Like, LeBron's my top guy. You know, I'm going to have Kevin Love. I'm just going to put those three in one category. Then after that, I am going to go with, from important, like, I think Deion Waiters is a top eight talent, but I'm trying to fit him into the puzzle. You know
I think
I mean?
He's got to come off the bench.
Yeah, I know. I agree. So let me do it like this. So I like our starting lineup. I like Sean Marion for being a defender and starting, so you can bring Deion Waiters off the bench. And I like bringing in Tristan Thompson, because now you have two energetic younger guys, one guy who's a presence in the paint and one guy who can score. You know, I'm a little worried about Deion Waiters, though. He seems like a – and I don't want to – like, I've watched him over the last couple of years, and he seems like – I don't know. I hope he's going to buy into this. I hope he likes his role. You know, I hope he can just like, embrace it like that Jamal Crawford used to embrace it. I don't think he's on that level, but, like, just be a scorer. And – if he does, it's going to be amazing. If he doesn't, I think he could be like somebody could like we. You might. And I don't want to like get ahead of myself, but to me, like you might try to trade him away in some way. If he's not. Why? I don't know. I just see him. It's either going to be an epic like great thing or an epic fail.
I agree. I think my lineup would look pretty similar to yours. I would probably go Kyrie at the one, but have LeBron share a lot of the ball handling. And then I would plug in Sean Marion at the two, LeBron at the three. I like Kevin Love at the four, Verge out the five, and then I like Deion and Tristan coming off the bench, two young guys, just like you said. And then I bring I like Mike Miller and Joe Harris off the bench too.
What do you know about? Like, I don't know that much about Joe Harris.
So I actually really know. Like, I watched Joe Harris
like
a lot. Dude, he was a great player. So his junior year at Virginia. He was, like, in the running. I don't think he won Conference Play of the Year for the ACC. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But he was first-team All-ACC. He was, like, in the top three for Player of the Year. He was awesome. He came back for his senior year. He really struggled, like, the first, like, half of the year. I mean, he couldn't hit a bucket. And then he really came on. And, dude, I like him because he doesn't need the ball. He just knows how to play. I think he's a great – I loved it. When I saw that we picked him, I was really excited about it.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a great pick. I really like I really like Tristan. I think he's playing so well.
Yeah. But he's upped his level. I have a question, not to like get off topic, but do you think that, and I always ask this question, like, is there going to be a role? And I don't even know. Like, we made this big deal in the summer. Is there going to be a role for James Jones? Like we know he's a sniper. Like, he can shoot, but, like, he can't do a lot of other things. Like, why not have him in one of those fourth quarter lineups where we just completely space the floor and just, like, I don't know. Maybe we have other options, but
I mean, he didn't even really have a role.
To shoot. Go ahead.
But he didn't even have a role for the Heat last year.
But he, remember, there were parts of the season where he did. Like, he would come in, he would. Like, there were certain situations where he would come in and bomb. Like, in the playoffs, he had a couple games, but...
I don't know. But here's the thing. I think he was brought in more probably as just a mentor than anything, because I would think that at that point, that's Mike Miller's role.
That's true. No, Mike Miller's the better option. I just think... So, we have Kevin Love who can space the floor. We have Mike Miller. Kyrie can space the floor. Joe Harris can space the floor. Deion Waiters, like, I feel like he's streaky, but he can help space the floor. Well, now, and we talked about this the other night. And Dellavedova, I'm still, like, undecided about what I think of him, but I think what it comes down to is, what we talked about this, is we're going to need, or we're going to look a lot like what the Miami Heat looked like. We're going to need a better rim protector.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree. Real quick on Deion. I think we have to set him up to succeed. And hear me out on this. I think if we try to play him too much with Kevin Love, LeBron, and Kyrie, that's kind of setting him up to fail, because it's just he's got a bad attitude, kind of, and he doesn't mesh well with them. But like he's not a fourth option. Like, if you're putting him out there as your fourth option, you're misusing him. However, you know how LeBron and Kyrie or Kevin, they always go to the bench for like 7-8 minutes, it seems like, in the second quarter. That's when I think you bring him off and you say, hey, you're our number one or number two option. We're not going to just spot you up. We're going to give you the rock. Your job is to go score 12 points this quarter. And then we're going to do the same thing at the end of the third or the beginning of the fourth. And that way, if he's playing well, maybe you leave him in there for crunch time. But I just think you play him, you know, 20-some minutes a game, and a majority of that when the big three are not all in there together, you utilize him well. And then at the end, I think you go with – your starting lineup, or maybe Mike Miller, another shooter, and kind of let.
I just don't see
the point of using Deion to close games when you don't need him for a fourth score at crunch time. You need three scores and some solid defenders. So I hope that they play that role with him, and I do really hope we get a rim protector. I just don't see how you're gonna. Like Serge Ibaka, and you got Griffin and DeAndre in the West, and Tim Duncan. I mean, even Chicago's got Noah and Gibson and Boozer.
You know what, Tristan? Like, and I know we did with Kevin Love's presence just to rebound and like use his body. You know, and Tristan Thompson's athleticism, we rebounded pretty. I think when we have to, we can, but we still need to. Or like, I think we can play. We can get rebounds on defense, but like you said, like it's all about. We just need a presence to like get there to. Block shots,
I think we both agree we need like an athletic, one more athletic big man, like that's just a super good athlete. I think that's what we need, and this team's complete.
Absolutely. Trade Brendan Haywood.
Yeah, trade.
Because we have that, like, he has that, like, whatever contract, it's a really good tradable asset.
Yeah.
And bring in some guy, I don't know who it would be, but bring in somebody that can just,
Hey, have you seen any of Kobe's stats this year?
I have. Obviously, when I lived out in L.A., like there was a lot of Kobe lovers.
Dude.
And you know what? I can vent because, like, I mean, he has a bad team, but at the same time, man, like, he's, like, what we've been saying his entire career, like, that dude, I don't even, honestly, I know he wants to win, but to me, I'm like, he's in a little bit of me, this is like a sick part of me, like, I think he's happy, he just has the ability, he's like, I don't want to work with him, so I'm just going to chuck as much as I want.
Dude, I seriously agree with you. So, I think one of the things that brought us together as friends was, like, in college, it was like, remember all those commercials, like the LeBron versus Kobe, it was like the height of LeBron versus Kobe, and you and I were so united in, like, LeBron, it was like, 100% LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And we used to, like, legitimately get mad and, like, want to fight people when they would always talk about how great Kobe was. And in everyone's defense back then when we were in school was always, how many rings does does LeBron have? And he'd be like, it's not that simple, you idiot. And, like, yeah. Just thinking about Kobe, like, I think when it's all said and done, he's one of the top 15 players of all time, 20 players of all time. But
I agree.
But let me just rant for, like, a minute about something with him.
Okay.
So he played with Shaq in the height of his power, won 3 rings. He played with Pau Gasol in the height of Pau's power when he was legitimately the best center in the league for several years, won 2 titles. And then he had Dwight Howard.
He whined until he got Pau Gasol. And then that was the craziest trade ever. He was like, it was almost like the NBA made that trade happen.
Jerry West made that happen, I think. But so, I mean, he won 5 titles, but he played with 3 of probably like the 6 or 7, 8 best centers in our lifetime. And then you have LeBron riding it out by himself. I mean, LeBron didn't even have another Hall of Famer or another All-Star on his team barely, except Mo Williams. And then Shaq when he was like
– We were suffering in those years.
So I think – here's what I think's happening. I think – exposed is a strong word, but I think Kobe's game is being revealed. That's a better word. I think it's being revealed and people are seeing it, that when you take away a lot of the supporting cast – LeBron could go carry that Lakers team probably to 45 wins.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd make the playoffs because the West is hard, but I promise you they could win 40 games with LeBron, just the way he makes people better. Kobe, dude, I looked his stats up. He's averaging more shots per game than any season in his career, and this is season 18. He's shooting 38% from the floor.
Yeah, that's nuts.
I mean, it's honestly like he just looked at things – it was like, hey, we're going to suck. Screw it. I'm just going to chuck us through it, and we're not going to win any games, whatever. I'm going to score the most points, and people are going to think I'm the greatest. And I just think he's doing a disservice. Well, I think the Lakers screwed themselves over with him and Nash. But, I mean, if he would take the approach of, hey, let me build the talent around here, it's kind of thin, but we'll see what happens. Build this team up to succeed in a couple years. I don't see – I mean, he's almost just like shooting that team out of even like a future for the next few years.
I want to know the only positive I see about it, and this is how I watch Kobe Bryant these days. Here's how this just shows my obsession with how much I love LeBron. Like, Kobe Bryant's 36 now.
Yeah.
And I'm watching him play after, like, a torn Achilles and all his injuries. And as much as he's, like, chucking heat to me, like, he still can do his thing. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't make his team better, but I'm like, LeBron's way more of an athlete now than Kobe ever was. That's why I feel good about LeBron when he gets older, because I think LeBron will have the ability to adapt, but he'll also keep a level of athleticism, and I think he's going to be better at that age than Kobe even is. And Kobe is still a formidable, good player, but he just doesn't make the people around him better.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I mean, because LeBron's, what, 29, so that'd be 7 years later. And that's the thing. Like, I respect Kobe for who he is. Like, he's the great – all right. How would I say this? I think this is how I would summarize him. Just in talent and mindset, he's the closest thing that we've probably ever seen to Michael Jordan and maybe ever will. However, he doesn't have the understanding of the game that MJ does, and he doesn't have the grasp that like even LeBron has, and I think that's the clear-cut line between them. And I think 5 years ago, people were kind of like real quick to be like, oh, Kobe's really close, maybe on par. And I think people have kind of backed off and been like, you know what? Okay, like he's not MJ. I mean he's still an incredible talent, and I think we're gonna miss the Mamba mode and seeing all that when he's retired. But I think what he's doing now kind of sheds a light on like just how rare LeBron is. Like a guy that just makes people around him better. And
You don't see a bunch of that's why I used to hate, I used to get that up at the Jordan comparisons, because LeBron is such a different player than anybody we've ever seen. Like, you can only compare LeBron to LeBron because he's a little bit of Michael, a little bit of Magic, a little bit of everything. And we aren't going to realize how great he was until, how it always goes, until he's done playing. And we're like, man, some of the things that he did out there were just incredible. And some of the things that we didn't even realize that we thought looked easy that were so difficult, I appreciate it now. I know I'm going to appreciate it even more.
Yeah, I know. I think when I mean, people don't drop 55, 10, and 10 at the Garden. Like, they don't do those things. He was doing those things on the regular. I mean, people don't come home and just drop 31, 11, and 10 and just a normal game. Like, he drops that game, and we're like, oh, it's good to see LeBron being LeBron. Anyone else drops that game, you're like, dude, did you see what he did last night? Like, it's just people take him for granted. Maybe we took him for granted the first time he was here, you know. And maybe we took for granted how easy it is to win a championship. I mean, I think we thought, oh, we have him, we're going to win. And I think maybe these last few years as people watched him and what he went through in Miami and just what happened to the Cavs and just the whole scope of the NBA, like, it's really difficult. Like, you have a window with your franchise. You have to optimize that window. You have to get you have to be lucky with injuries. And it's a process and it's a crapshoot. And the thing is, though, you have to put yourself in the position to be in the running. And I think that the Cavs have done that again. And I'm super excited about that.
I am too, man. I haven't missed a game yet this year. And if I do miss them, I'll use my league pass to watch the review. And like honestly, I haven't been this excited about. I'm a pretty big NBA fan. I like to watch the NBA, but this season, I mean, I'm to the point where I've got my disease back, man. I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't get enough. Like, I'm following all the Cavs stuff on Twitter. I'm like a mess.
You're a mess. you're Fruit Man's revitalized.
I'm back, man.
That's cool. Well, hey, we got about 30 seconds left, and then we got to head off. You got anything you want to mention real quick before we go out there?
Just want all your listeners to know that Benny the Jet Falkenberg live is the best collegiate basketball player I've ever seen.
I used to get buckets, huh?
Yeah, dude, you used to get buckets. I actually showed after I introduced my girlfriend to you last week. I showed her your little YouTube clips of you just like bombing, stepping.
That's what I was trying to get in. That's when I wanted to play overseas. I was trying to get an agent, so I made those.
Dude, those videos are ridiculous. It reminded me how ridiculous it is. But
I forget
being on the show, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was great having you on. It's like it seems so long ago. I forget that I used to do that to people, and then it just seems like I'm not even a basketball. I don't even really play basketball anymore. So it's just like. I still feel like I am a basketball player and I can talk about it like I am, but like it's been so long since I've done that stuff. But yeah, it is what it is. I used to get buckets. So hey, it was great having you on. We'll do this again, man. Maybe like once every few weeks we'll bring you on as the Cavs man.
Perfect. Yeah, you know I'll talk Cavs all day, all night.
All right, dude. That sounds good. Thanks for joining us.
All right, man. Later.
See ya.